Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we are your people dashboard for small and medium-sized companies. That's right. We know just because you're a smaller company and a lean HR team doesn't mean that you don't want to be data-driven or you don't deserve to have the data at your fingertips. And when you're using a lot of different systems, HRIS, ATS, engagement, performance, all these different systems, it's kind of hard to bring all that data together. And a lot of the time, you're doing it in messy, crappy spreadsheets. Well, look no further, because you can go to employeecycle.com and learn all about how our people dashboard has pre-built integration connectors to all the systems that you typically use. Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, Zenefits, Trinet, ADP, 15.5, Office 5, blah, 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 all the systems. So you can bring all your data into one place to view, track, share, and analyze. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show, Stephanie Hammerwald. She's the HR director at Arcules. And today we're going to discuss how to keep up employee morale during COVID. Stephanie, welcome to the podcast. Woo! Stephanie, welcome!
It's a really nice welcome. I like that.
And for a very small fee, I will do that wherever you go.
Nice.
All right. So, Stephanie, we're going to kick this thing off the best way we know how, which is asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
I think my story is kind of similar to a lot of people who end up in HR. You just kind of fall into it, or HR finds you. There's only one person I've met in my entire HR career who said, oh yeah, when I was younger, I wanted to be an HR director. So years ago, I moved up to Santa Cruz. I now live in Southern California, not far from where I grew up. But you know, I spent about a decade in Santa Cruz, and I moved there, went out to a temp agency. First time I went to a temp agency, they sent me out to an HR assistant job. And I remember in those first couple of weeks thinking, well, HR, this isn't really what I want to do, but at least it'll pay the bills while I look for something else. And many years later, and several promotions later, you know, I ended up falling into a career path with that. Kind of rose the ranks and eventually, you know, had my own consulting business for a couple of years ago, which is how I landed at the job I'm at now. Because again, I thought that was going to be a short-term project, and it kind of ended up really falling in love with the company and, was there from day one at a startup. And 3 years later, we have a company of about 65 employees. I've been, promoted up to HR director, and I've really been kind of a big part of building that team and really building our corporate culture with the executive team.
And if you could just tell us a little bit about what Arcules does, that would be great.
Yeah. So we have developed a cloud-based solution for video data management. So taking all those images coming off of security cameras and putting them up in the cloud. So it's actually a really useful tool now. So as a lot of us are away from our offices, you can easily access your video security and your access control points from wherever you are. So I can, if I wanted to see who was in the office right now, I could just go on and have full access to our security system to see that.
Awesome. So today we're discussing how to keep up employee morale during COVID. But before we go into how do you do this throughout all the challenges that 2020 has brought us, I want to first talk about how do you do this outside of COVID, pre-COVID? Because this seems to be a pretty consistent challenge that companies can have during any type of crisis, whether you just had layoffs or maybe there was some type of sexual harassment or employee issue that kind of rocked the boat, or maybe certain key players left or the company didn't get funding. There's so many different things that could decrease employee morale. So even outside of COVID, how do you do that? And how are you planning on doing that before?
Yeah. And so, like I said, we've only been around 3 years. So we've been through a lot in that time. We built a product from the ground up and launched it and got it out to market and built a whole company and, moved into a new office, all that kind of stuff in that span of 3 years. And so there's a lot of challenges, a lot of stressful times in that. There's also times you look around and go, wow, we built something incredible. But there are days where you show up and nothing's working. The product is broken. And everybody's scrambling to get it done. So it is a lot of work to keep that morale up. And I think what worked well for us from day one. We were committed to hiring for culture fit. I still remember my very first week, and I was sitting down with the now CEO of our company talking about the hiring plan, and he told me this ambitious plan of hiring like 15 software engineers in 6 weeks in a very competitive market. And he said, okay, you know, I want to make sure we hire for a culture fit. That's really important to me. And I looked around and it was just the two of us sitting in this office in a WeWork in Irvine. And I'm like, what culture? It's just us. And he said, no, this is my vision for him. What he really meant was, you know, he had a clear picture of the kind of person he wanted to hire, that he wanted to hire people that were committed to that fail fast mentality, that weren't afraid to take risks within the technology that they were building, that could deal with the level of ambiguity that comes with being in that early stage startup environment. And so we worked hard to not only hire people that checked off all the boxes for the technical skills, but to really make sure that they were in alignment with our vision. And so, you know, that was kind of the number one priority in terms of building that culture in a place that people wanted to be, so that even when things got stressful, even when it was really hard, even when it seemed impossible for us to, you know, like, how are we going to get this product out in time, that there was still that nurturing environment. You know, we've stumbled along the way a couple times and we've had to address issues as they've come up, but always we kind of come back to that feel, you know, to the point now where even when somebody decides to move on for a better opportunity, it's almost like a kind of a bittersweet graduation moment for them, that, you know, we sometimes have people leave for places like Amazon because they get, you know, kind of a bigger and better opportunity. And, you know, there's really that kind of graduation feel rather than, oh, I'm quitting and leaving this place because I hate it. It's more like, I've learned a lot here and I'm, you know, moving on to even bigger things. So I think that, you know, building that culture and investing that time in not just hiring a body to fill a seat, but really hiring a person and the whole person, that's kind of where it starts in terms of building the culture that supports good morale.
I appreciate that snapshot of what you were doing pre-COVID. And so now that we are in the middle of COVID, in the middle, later stage of COVID, not quite sure how to define where we are. I just know that today is August 21st, and that's where we are with this global pandemic. How do you look at morale when we're on so much of a roller coaster right now? A roller coaster with the economy, with people's emotions, with people's health status, and their family configuration. People can't see others. People are trying to get married, and they are getting married, but they're doing it virtually. And I mean, there's so many different things that are happening right now, and we're forced to do things in a totally new way. How do you work on keeping up employee morale throughout all these challenges?
Well, this is another way that I've taken what I did before and transitioned it into this, you know, weird virtual world we're living in. You know, I've never been the kind of HR person that hid behind my desk and that people only knew as a name that was on emails that went out. You know, even when I got my start in HR and I was working in a distribution center, I would step out of my office and walk around the, you know, entire warehouse just saying hi to people and checking in. You know, when I worked in HR and grocery, same thing, I would go out to the stores and whenever I was there for a meeting or whatever it was, I would get there an hour early and spend time just talking to employees. You know, and I've taken that to Arcules, you know, that I would walk around our office and talk to people. I'd make sure to spend plenty of time in our kitchen area so that you can be part of those casual conversations when people are grabbing coffee. You know, I not only learn about what everybody's working on, but those are the spaces where things come up. You know, people say, oh, I need to talk to you about this issue that came up, or I need to know, you know, what my leave options are because I'm having surgery in a month. And I've really had to be more proactive about that now because I don't have the benefit of walking around and seeing everyone. I don't get those visual cues of when somebody's stressed out. I regularly pop all over Slack, which is our main form of communication with our team. And I'll just pop into people's messages and say, hey, how's it going? Just checking in. If we had a conversation about something a few weeks ago, I'll bring up what we were talking about just so I can make sure that I'm checking in with everybody. And sometimes I even, you know, take a roster from our HR system to make sure that I hit everybody, especially some of those quieter employees that I might not interact with on a regular basis, so that I can see, you know, is there anything coming up? And there's been quite a few times in those conversations where it starts off just, you know, kind of casual small talk. And then somebody says, oh, by the way, I'm really struggling with back to school this week. What are my options for taking a few days off to manage my kids' education? And so kind of finding those ways to virtually walk around the office rather than doing that you know, when we're all in the same space. That's been, I think, key to helping keep spirits up and to make sure that our employees are doing okay. And then just putting out reminders too about the employee assistance program. What kind of mental health resources are out there for people who are struggling and need someone to talk to?
That's awesome. And that definitely shows that you care a lot about your employees. When it comes to balancing personal one-on-one communication versus formal communication by department or across the entire org, how do you balance the two so that you're not, I won't say over-communicating, because over-communication definitely sounds like the name of the game, but people, it's to the point where people still have their space and they know that, all right, Stephanie, I know that you care, but this is a lot. This is making me even more anxious.
Yeah. Well, and I do a lot more on the our general Slack channel. I'll put out announcements and I try to keep everything lighthearted and fun, even if I'm putting serious stuff out. You know, sometimes HR has to, you know, put out the kind of standard policy stuff. So I've really tried to get playful with how I announce things on Slack, because it also means people read what I write. You know, if I just write, send out the boring HR memo, people go, yeah, whatever, and delete it or put it somewhere and bury it for all eternity. So I try to be playful in what I post. You know, and knowing that sometimes I do have to communicate, hey, I need everybody to sign this form that you received the handbook, you know, and I'll make jokes about it being the most exciting read of the year or whatever kind of corny humor I can bring to it. Cause I think that's what keeps people more connected. And it's a reminder that HR isn't all serious. Sometimes we're seen as the policy police, and very much have worked to try and not be that at Arcules.
Speaking of HR being seen as the privacy police, or just as the bearer of bad news, how do you make sure that your employees know that when you're reaching out to them, they're not about to get fired or they're not about to get some bad news? And maybe that's because you've already built a relationship with them, or because it seems like your company is on a positive growth trajectory. But a lot of other HR leaders, even in very successful companies, have felt this feeling and had this notion that when they reach out to employees, they always feel like they're about to get bad news or that they might be getting laid off. Do you experience that? And if so, how do you manage that?
Well, and I think that's why you have to, as HR, be reaching out to your employees on a regular basis, because they need to know that they don't only hear from you when it's bad news. They need to know that most of the time when they hear from you, it's either good news or it's just kind of, you know, day-to-day small talk kind of stuff. If the only time your employees hear from you is when there's a termination or a serious investigation, then of course that's what they're going to think when they hear from HR. You know, I have made light of it before when I need to talk to somebody about something, and often I may need to talk to somebody about a confidential thing. It might be something with their benefits or whatever. And it's, you know, even then it's confidential, but it's, you know, fairly tame and it's not a scary thing. And I always preface it with, hey, don't worry, you're not in trouble, and make sure people know that up front. I think one of the big things, and even if you have to deliver bad news, even if there are staff cuts or, you know, everybody's going to have to tighten their belt next month or whatever it is, you have to be open and honest about that. And I work with an executive team that's kind of embraced that philosophy, that when we've had struggles and challenging times, we'll call everybody together and have a town hall meeting and say, this is what's happening, and here's how we're going to deal with it, and here's our path forward, rather than kind of burying that all in secrecy. Because I think as soon as you do that, that's when you start building that kind of culture of mistrust.
I know from an HR perspective, your goal is to always try to see the future, see what potential issues people may be having, see what problems people might be headed towards, and also see if people are on the verge of potentially leaving. And it was interesting earlier when you said that some of the people who are more quiet, you want to make sure that they're okay. Have you experienced talking to any of your employees where some people may just be quiet by nature, but other people may seem different, and it's not because that they want to leave the company, but it's just because they might be affected by what's going on?
Yeah. And I think, you know, I work with a lot of software engineers, and so that's a profession that tends to attract a lot of introverts. So, and I tell people I'm actually an introvert myself. And when I'm in my natural state, I tend to like my alone time. But being in HR, I have to put on a very outgoing, you know, much more extroverted personality. And so, you know, I kind of call it my HR persona. But, you know, and I think that's why those one-on-one conversations are really valuable, because there's a lot of people that might not want to speak in a group or might not approach you on their own. But just allowing that space or saying, wow, it's because I'll ask people how they're doing and they usually respond and say, oh yeah, I'm getting by, remote work's going okay, but I miss being able to go see people. And I say, yeah, I live alone. It's tough to live alone at this time because I can't just have my friends over the way I used to when I want to have a friend over and make dinner for them. And then that tends to be a pathway to get people to open up and talk. And then also sometimes I get a really short conversation and that's it. And then 3 weeks later is when they open up to me. So it's really just opening that space, making sure people know there's that open door policy. So when they do want to talk about it, you're there. But again, you know, I'm not going to force somebody to have those conversations if they don't want to talk to me about it. But I just want them to know that I'm here as a resource.
When you think about the word morale and what that means to you, is that interchangeable with engagement, or do you see those as two totally different things?
You know, I think those are two different things. And I think engagement is a tool within that kind of morale toolbox. And I think, you know, from my perspective, the way my job's changed, you know, I've always been kind of trying to push different events, you know, so that when we want to celebrate success, that we're making sure that those kinds of things are happening. Those employee recognition events are happening. And it's now shifted quite a bit because we have to look at different ways to have virtual events, find different ways to engage employees. I just about an hour ago came off of a lunch and learn where one of our engineers demonstrated some technology that he's been working on, which is a very technical kind of lunch and learn that we did. And we had some good attendance on that. And sometimes we do things like I organized a bunch of game nights. One of my favorite events that I did to kind of engage people outside of the workspace and getting their minds out of that was, you know, I love baking. And normally when we're in the office, almost every Monday, I'm bringing in whatever I made over the weekend. A huge Great British Bake Off fan. So I love to do a lot of that challenging stuff. And I've realized like I've been missing that. And so I did basically a bake and learn is what I called it, where I set up a camera in my kitchen and did a demo. Like I was, you know, living out my Julia Child fantasy and invited coworkers to bake along with me. And so that engaged a different group of people. And those are just all ways, you know, setting up different things. We've done virtual happy hours where people can just come hang out. And some people are super talkative and some are just there with their camera off, just kind of hanging out and, you know, maybe not talking a lot, but just enjoying the connection to other people. So finding ways to engage people that aren't just about the work we do, but like replicating that social environment that we have in the office. And then allowing them the space to participate at whatever level they want. You know, I never make it mandatory at those events to turn your camera on. So if you just want to be there with your camera off and talking, that's fine. If you want camera off and mic off, whatever combo works for you. But not, and we jokingly call it, you know, our mandatory fun activities. But the reality is not, you know, there's nothing mandatory about it.
So I want to end this interview on an actionable note. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of listeners hanging on to every word that you say, because morale is basically one of the most important things right now for any company. And so what would you tell listeners if they could ask you, Stephanie, I'm trying to put a plan together to make sure that we are detecting low morale, but then also maintaining high morale moving forward. Where should I start?
I think number one, acknowledge that we're living through difficult times. So we're not just asking people to work remote. We're asking people to work remote during a global crisis. So know that there's a lot of stressors that we're all experiencing it right now, whether it's, you know, like we have a lot of parents this week dealing with back to school and managing, you know, all their kids being home for the first week of school. You know, whether it's just watching the news and getting overwhelmed, or having friends or family members that are sick with COVID, or having experienced a death in the family because of it. So there's all these things that are adding stress to someone's life that are completely outside of work. So number one, recognize that it's a difficult time, and that does require us to be flexible and to be patient with each other as well. Number two, you know, look at what kind of HR person are you? Are you the one that hides in your office and is behind your computer screen the whole time and basically sees people as just data? Or are you the kind of person that goes out and circulates and talks to your employees and knows them? You know, obviously we love the data part. You know, I'm not going to lie, I love having all that information, but you have to also know the stories and the people that go with those numbers and that information. Otherwise you don't have a full picture of your culture and your company. So, you know, even if this is a good chance, if you've been a little hesitant to be that person that stepped out from your screen, use the virtual tools you have to start circulating around to your employees. Yeah, they might feel a little weird when HR first starts reaching out to them, but once they see that most of the time when you're reaching out, you're just being friendly. That also helps to build that trust with your team. And even as we kind of get you know, to the point where maybe the pandemic's behind us and we're all back in the office. Those are skills that you can kind of keep going in person with down the road.
And I really appreciated that the mention about the data, because as an HR data company, we always tell HR leaders, we're going to help you use the data and make it as actionable and insightful as possible. But please remember, you're still dealing with people. Mm-hmm. And people, it's almost impossible to know everything about people and how they're going to operate because we're people. So with that being said, Stephanie, thank you so much for bringing all your wisdom and knowledge and experience to the table, sharing it with the HR community. We really appreciate you and all that you've done to help navigate your workforce through the challenges of 2020. So thank you so much for being on the podcast. Stephanie! Woo!
Thank you for having me. And the applause too.
Of course. You absolutely deserve it. So where can people find you and Arcules online?
So just arcules.com, A-R-C-U-L-E-S. Arcules sounds like Hercules. And I'm pretty easy to find on LinkedIn because there's not a lot of people with the last name Hammerwald. So just look for me, Stephanie Hammerwald, on LinkedIn, and I'd love to connect.
Awesome. And we're definitely going to include all of your contact info in the show notes when your episode is posted. So if you enjoyed this episode as much as Stephanie is and I did making it, then please leave us a 5-star rating on iTunes, because that shows that you care and that we're providing great content. Also, if this is your very first time listening to the Employee Cycle podcast, you love what Stephanie had to say, you can bear hearing my voice for a couple more episodes because you want to hear what all the great HR leaders have to say, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all other great podcast players. And last but not least, all you awesome HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.